Love's Naked Truth with Lisa Simmons, a podcast where we tell our stories and dive deep into the raw and unfiltered life of love, sex, who we crush on, and why we do what we do, and everything in between. I'm a certified matchmaker and a licensed real estate broker, and I match lovers and buyers for a living. So get ready for a no slut shaming, no judgment, and no filters, just raw, untold stories, and who knows what else can happen. Hey, Crushers! On today's show of Love's Naked Truth, I'm thrilled to introduce my co-host, Michael, a positive, passionate advocate for body positivity and the nudist lifestyle. Together, we'll explore the beauty of freedom of naturism, challenge societal norms, and celebrate the diversity of human bodies and relationships found within naked communities. So get ready to peel back the layers and dive into the world of naked truth with us. Michael, thanks for coming.
Hi, Lisa.
Hey. Michael is very particular on his dating, so we're going to get into that here in a minute. But first, I want you all to know that Michael's going to help us with some of the episodes, kind of be my sidekick or co-host of some sort. So we're excited for that because he is here to experience all of these exciting love stories that we're going to share with you. And it gets really deep in here.
Try and learn some new stuff.
Yeah, I think we could all learn some new stuff. I want you to tell us so that we know more about you. So where are you at in life from where you were maybe a few years ago?
Okay. Right now, I am 44 years old and I live in East Wenatchee. I have a full-time job working in a warehouse. And my interests are including Narcotics Anonymous.
Okay.
Currently, I just celebrated 6 years clean and sober. And I have been trying to branch out and find new things to do as a sober person. So with being a sober person, I don't go to bars. I don't go out partying, but I do go to church.
So do you find it hard in the dating world because you're not going to bars, you're not going to, you know, social events that would require drinking and stuff in that
world? Well, I don't cut out the going places that are non-alcoholic.
So you still
exclusive.
Do those things?
I'll still go to a bar, but for dinner or something like that. But I don't go specifically to things. You know, like I love going to the hockey games, and there's booze there all the time. But I don't go to specific bars just to hang out. So, yes, it is very hard to find somebody out here today where you're not in a social setting to go on a date.
Did you find that when you were drinking and going to bars and stuff like that, it was easier to find women?
Yeah, it was a lot more readily available. I think it was probably because their standards were a lot lower.
So they had their beer goggles on?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were like the whole binocular beer goggles.
So you said something about going to church, like to find somebody, you know, you think, well, that's a wholesome place.
I
think
I've been a member of my church now for about almost 4 years now. And every church that I've gone to, every religion, it's always family based. So they're, you know, to be happy, you got to have a wife and you got to have kids and all this other stuff and a mortgage and be in debt to your eyeballs and everything else. And so, like, when we were growing up, it was, you know, you need a good church woman.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember grandma's saying that, you know, you need a good church woman around your life.
Yeah. Cause that's what their generation was like. Society is that you find somebody at church, you get married, you have kids, you have the biggest boring life ever. And,
yeah, absolutely.
And you die.
You get the white picket fence and then you get the headstone.
Yeah. Yay.
You know, and then somebody else gets your white picket fence.
As a real estate broker, that's so true. Oh. I see people that different families or generations that have stories where that have lived in a certain house, and you can feel it in some of those houses.
Other people.
And it's kind of sad. Think about it. You know, you had a life there. You lived and slept and did everything in that house. And now your time is over. You're done. Somebody else gets to come into that house. And it is kind of sad.
Yeah. So one of the things that has been popping up lately is the time of the year that we have right now the insurance policies that we have are all changing and everything else. And so, and there's new laws and new programs out there. And one of them is the afterlife expense. Have you heard about that one?
No.
So it's kind of like an insurance that you pay for so that once you die, then it helps with your funeral costs and all this other stuff.
Also life insurance.
It's kind of like life insurance, but then I think they got tired of calling it life insurance. So it's aftercare or something like that. And they're like, oh, just for this little amount. That way you won't be a burden to your family. And I turned around and I told the guy, I says, you know what? I don't have any family left. So me dying isn't going to be a burden to anybody else. So I think I'm going to make the state pay for everything that they can. That way, somebody is going to remember me.
Right. Well, I feel like that now they're trying to get you to pay money after death. Because that insurance that you're saying for afterlife care to go, whatever.
Yeah.
That to me is an insurance that you pay for after death.
Yeah.
And I don't feel that that's right.
Yeah. What happens if you can't pay? Do they come and, hey, get up,
so
get out of the grave.
That's what they're not telling us. You're dead, you can't pay. They can't, they're
who's,
not.
Who's going to pay?
No one's going to bury you now because you're dead and there's no money.
Yeah.
I don't know. I find another way, that's another way to scam us out of money.
But, you know, with the people at the church, you got all these, you go to church and there's all these families around and there it's, oh yeah, well, you need to meet you a good church girl. Well, I don't know about your church, but my church, the only single women are either underage or right at 18 years old or 75.
Yeah, that mid-range. They're out busy. They don't have time for church. Or
A lot of times. The mid-range is usually married.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, there's not a lot of single women my age in this area going to church.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true. I hear that a lot. As a matchmaker, there are people in town that are like, oh, I can't find anybody in this town. And to me, if half the town is saying this, then somebody needs to connect them.
Yeah.
And that's where I feel like I benefit in this occupation.
So the other side of that is I used to love going to bars, but then I was drinking. Now that I'm not drinking, my tolerance level to drunk people is very, very small.
Sure.
And I don't want to be around it.
Yeah.
So I don't go in.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
And try telling somebody that you don't drink while you're in a bar.
Yeah, right?
That doesn't work.
Do you have any stories like back in the day that you can share with us with a partner or something that might be
The last relationship I was in was kind of an open relationship. I know her husband wasn't very happy that she was in a relationship with me.
So it wasn't a throuple situation. It was just open. So she was your girlfriend, but she had a husband?
Yeah.
So you were basically the side piece or an affair.
Yeah, I was the side piece.
But he
homewrecker.
But he knew about you, and so he wasn't happy that she was seeing you?
Yeah.
That's crazy. How did it end? It had to not... And good.
She did the ultimate ghosting on it and just split, left, and I didn't hear from her for months, and then all of a sudden called me saying that she was coming back into town, and I'm done with it.
Was this back in your drinking days?
No, this was just a month ago.
Oh my gosh.
A month ago or so.
So it's still fresh.
Yeah.
Who knows how that'll turn out.
Yeah, I haven't seen her, but she's just like, I hope you're not going to be mean to me if I come to the meetings. And you know what? I'll let you know right now. I am not going to stand in the way of anybody else's sobriety or recovery. Even if we don't see eye to eye, please come to a meeting and talk about it or don't talk about it, but still come to the meeting.
Right.
You know.
That's so anything back to your drinking days that is wild and crazy that you can share with us
what
it was like. I feel like when you're in your partying days and you're drinking and you're doing drugs or whatever the case may be, maybe you don't remember a lot of
it. That's a lot of the problem is I don't remember a lot of it. And the parts that I do remember, I wish I didn't.
Right. You probably only remember pieces of
things. And the way that I remember it isn't the way that it happened in the first place, you know? So
yeah.
everybody's been in the bar and they're drinking, and you see somebody across the way that you like, and depending on whether it was the beginning of the night or the end of the night, you know, and mine, I was pretty much hammered the whole time anyways. And so there's been plenty of times where I thought I was being a Don Juan, you know, like, oh, I got this, and go up and you're like, oh, wow, man, you've got the most beautiful eyes I've ever seen. And God, you really look good out there on the dance floor. In reality, it's more of a, I can see your boobs. You know,
yeah.
But in my head, you know, I was a smooth operator the whole time. And in reality, I'm spilling a beer on the front of me as I'm drinking it, trying to look cool. And yeah, so I was one that I didn't do much drugs while I was drinking. I was either drinking or then doing drugs, you know, working a full-time job, going out drinking. And there've been plenty of times where, you know, you hear the story of you lay down in the bed after a night of drinking and then all of a sudden the alarm clock goes off and you got to get up. There was plenty of times where I walk into the house and go and lay down and have to get up and go to work within a half hour after been drinking all night long. And I'd go to work and it was a perfectly good day.
As long as you're moving, because I've been in that position too, where like I'd just go to bed. And then I'd have to get up, and it sucks so bad, like when you're trying to get up.
Yeah.
But once you get going, you're like, okay, I can handle this. But I mean, when sometimes when you go to bed and you wake up, you're still drunk. So now you're getting in your car, you're driving around, you're going to work or wherever you're going, and you're still drunk.
Yeah.
But the best thing to that, though, the best thing to that is you had a really motherfucking good night.
Yeah.
You got laid. You had so much fun. It's okay because you'll think about that throughout the day. Like, damn, it was so fun last night.
Well, and it's also surprising when Wednesday comes around and you make plans with somebody to go out on Friday night and you're sitting there going, yeah, let's go to the bar and have some fun and we'll be drinking. We'll get some girls around. We'll have a good time. You know, we deserve this because we worked so hard the last 4 days that we deserve to go out and have a good time. And then you go out, you get drunk, you get hammered, you go home, you wake up the next day and you're sitting there going, oh my God, I'm never drinking again. Oh. And then it runs through your head, yes, I deserve this. This is what I deserve. I'm now broke. I'm hungover, dehydrated.
And it's worth it. You'll work all week long.
All week.
Just to feel like shit.
Just to feel like shit. Yeah.
But, you know, I think that's part of the game.
You know why guys do it? Because of boobs.
So it's all about boobs?
Yes. If, you know, a woman's boobs could end a war.
Do you think it's all about boobs or you're just a boob man?
I'm a boob man. I love boobs. Big ones, little ones, any of them. They're great.
I like flat.
Other than hairy, I don't really like my own boobs because they're hairy.
So, but what if the girl has a hairy boob problem?
Pluck it.
You don't want to get the hair stuck in your teeth.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like when I look at a man, my favorite thing on him is his smile.
Yeah.
I think that I'm drawn to that most. But there's just so many different things I'm attracted to.
Yeah.
My main thing is a bare back, a sexy bare back. I love a man's back. That's my favorite.
I have preferences, but I think that the most attractive thing on a woman is her attitude.
Yeah. That's very important.
Yeah. I mean, you can
personality.
You can be the hottest drop dead 10 walking through the door. And if you got a shitty attitude, you just,
or if they're a narcissist, because that by far beats everything in my eyes.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a good quality at all. So have you ever been naked? Like ever?
Well,
like,
yeah, I was born naked.
Okay. But I mean, as an adult, like, have you ever been like sexually turned on being naked in public?
Not totally in public and not totally naked.
So you're not like a flasher or
no,
you don't like indecent exposure.
But going up to the local point and having some fun
by yourself?
No, not by myself. Yeah.
Well, no. I think people do like that. Like, they'll walk through the mall and just be like, woo, take a peek.
Well, hey, you know, if you look at what some of the ladies are wearing to the mall now, they're pretty much being naked as it is. I've seen some tops that I have bigger handkerchiefs than their tops.
Or they don't wear, like, they absolutely wear see-through shirts.
Yeah.
And no bra. Because, you know, why wear anything?
I'm just a fan of the no bra, though.
I am, too. I hate bras. Yeah. For one, they're uncomfortable. But for two, we weren't made to wear bras. Why are we wearing bras? Like, no. I mean, I understand if your boobs are super, super big, you need to, like, you know, hold those babies back.
Even then, you know, I'm trying to remember the last few girlfriends were always wearing bras.
Yeah.
You know, like, I understand if you're going out or if you're everyday use, but like if you're laying in bed, why are you wearing a bra?
Yeah, I don't think it's healthy. It does stuff to your lymphatic system when you have that constantly,
tension off.
And, yeah, it's not healthy. And I feel like let the boobs out, let them free,
release them
exactly. But I understand if they're super big, like that's really hard on your body,
yeah,
and they need to be held back. That's a whole different situation.
Well, but then you just get a man that can help support you
financially or
hold them up for you.
Right. So has there ever been a time where you have exposed yourself? I mean, I know it's a turn on, especially to men. For some reason, I feel like that's more common.
I've never had that issue before.
Have you thought about it? Like,
No. I've had it switched the other way. I've been with women that I like to see out in public.
So you would like the girls that you're with to be naked in public or be with them?
Yeah.
Naked in public.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of a turn on, I guess.
You know, if you're out with your girlfriend and you're at some restaurant and she leans over and says, I'm not wearing panties tonight.
Well, yeah, that's different. That's different. I'm talking about, you know, let's say, and then
she goes, see.
Okay. Yeah. But for others to see, not just you, off on the fact that people are looking. Which... Yeah,
I've never been very good at sharing either.
Yeah, yourself or others?
Others. I'm good at sharing myself. I'm just not very good
at
sharing
others. Would you ever, like, think it was a turn on to, like, maybe wear a trench coat naked underneath it and then walk around and maybe... I mean, it is illegal. Let's put that out there first. It is illegal to do that if you're doing it for sexual reasons. Now, if you are into, like, a nudist colony or a nudist community... which they call themselves naturists.
Naturists, okay.
Yeah, that's the more common word, because the word nudist, I guess, gets a bad reputation for being, you know, people that like to be naked around each other. And then there's that misconception that people are there to have sex, like big orgies. But it's not like that. It's so that they can be one with nature.
Yeah, see, and I don't think I'd ever purposely go to a nature colony.
Yeah.
Or nudist colony.
You'd want to go to check it out to see, you know.
I think I'd drive by.
Yeah. But if you get out, you have to feel like you need to participate or you need to leave.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah. I think that too.
I'm not saying I would never go. I just said I've never sought out for it. It's never been something that's attracted to me.
Yeah.
But some of the research I did in Washington State, there's a lot more of it out there in Washington State than
we realize. Yeah,
like there's whole community campsites.
So is it something that they do like once a year, or do they just live year round? So they live that way.
Yeah.
Is that like over in this toward the Seattle area of Washington, or is that? I'm just curious to what area. So we are in central Washington.
Yeah, I think it was more towards Everett.
So the Seattle side.
Yeah.
The west side.
Yeah, west side.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a lot more stuff going on over in that way because there's just so many more people where over here, you know, we're pretty, I don't know what you would call it, but shy.
Yeah. Well, the air is different over there.
And the air is different here. I kind of, you know, sometimes get upset because the air is really dry over here, and dry can be boring.
Yeah. Again, it's going to be very, very dry and boring. with some of the things that we saw on the campsites, that it's not just a one person showing up and they've got a campsite going and they're, oh, we're naked here. No, they've got banquet rooms, pool, beach, campsite.
So it's not a resort. They live there?
No, it's a resort.
And they live there or do they just go stay, you know?
I think it's a go stay resort. Okay, instead
So it's constantly going year round.
Yeah.
But you could say, oh, I'm going to be there for 2 weeks this year. And then somebody else comes in for their week or two or whatever. Yeah. Okay. So it's constantly revolving.
Yeah.
Naked people, but it's a resort.
They had rules too.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure. The number one rules is no cameras or recording devices.
Which is really hard today because everybody has them on you. But where would you put your phone?
Where do you put your phone?
You have to hold it the whole time or stick it up in your hat.
Yeah.
Like wear a hat and stick it up in there.
Yeah.
Or wear it between your butt crack. I don't know.
You'd have little stickies.
Well, you know what?
Well, that'd be considered covering.
So that actually brings up something. So in Portland, Oregon, they have the naked bike ride.
Yeah.
Every year. And I watched a video on that today, and they are actually all naked. Most of them are fully naked, but they have their fanny pack on.
Oh.
So it's actually a sight to see.
So there's a natural fanny pack. I wonder how much that goes for. for you know, nudist with stuff to go.
Nudist with stuff to go. Yeah. For the nudist on the go.
On the go. Nudist on the go. Yeah. So why are they naked cyclists?
They do it for awareness. They want people to be aware of them on bikes. Apparently, they're not noticed on bikes, so they want to prove that, hey, we're bike riders, not when they're naked, but for any bike rider in general. They don't get noticed that, you know, people need to watch out for them.
Watch out for the bikes. Yeah,
and they aren't getting represented that they are a form of transportation. And
I think it goes both ways on that too, though, you know, because not only do motorists need to be more aware of bicycles and pedestrians in general, but also the cyclists need to be more aware of
their surroundings
at the same time too.
Well, yeah, they're open.
And just because they're on a bike doesn't give them the right.
Well, it does in the law. I mean, if a car hits a bike, no matter who's at fault, the car's going to jail.
Yeah.
But I think that they can hear more. They're open-aired, so they should be able to hear honks and noises and, you know, where when you're in the car, you're kind of like, if you got the radio going, you don't hear a lot of what's going on around you.
No.
You know?
But, hey, if I'm driving down the road and all of a sudden I see a group of naked cyclists, I'm going to pay more attention.
You are. But when they do it once a year in the summer, and I believe it's in August, and they go to a park where they like all meet up. It's like a nude party, and they meet up and talk and do all that kind of stuff. And I think it's at Laurelhurst Park. And they all meet up there. Their bikes are all lit up. So they have like strobe lights going on their bikes and all kinds of like lights to be noticed. And then they all have their fanny packs on.
Okay.
Most of the men are naked from, you know, all the way down to like maybe some flip-flops or some shoes. All clothes are optional. You do see that some of the girls, like a lot of the women will just have their tops off.
Mm.
And then there are some that are fully naked. But I did see a lot of penises flopping around. And you really get to see when you have that many people together. I guess it's over 10,000 people now.
Oh, geez.
You get to see a lot of wieners, different sizes.
Yeah.
So I was like, some of them like, dude, you should be wearing clothes. And then the ones that are well endowed should still be wearing clothes because that's offensive. So I'm like, I don't really see the purpose for wieners flopping around on a bike. And and the thing is that families and kids can actually go to this at night and it's a parade. It's open for anyone. So, you know, Oregon has a lot of different rules.
Yeah.
But it's all considered legal because there's no sexual acts happening. It's not for sexual purposes.
There's protesting. It's funny because in the different laws and everything else, the one I have heard about was the parade in Seattle. And it happens every spring. And they do this also. And it's been going on for 30 some years. And they started out doing it to protest something, to bring awareness to something, and they crashed the parade by streaking with the bikes through the parade. And last year it was, this guy is down at this parade with his kids and everything. And they're like, oh my God, here goes some old people on bikes naked. And he's like, I've got my kids with me. And he's right there at Pike Place Market. And he goes, how are they not getting arrested? Well, you look up and you do a little research on it. They've actually got permit to do it. So not only are they going through proper channels so that they don't get arrested, they've gone to the city because they've got a permit for the parade and they've okayed it with the city to be doing it.
So listen, I think that the city is probably allowing that because there's probably a fat fee behind it and the city's making money.
Yeah.
I mean, why else? Why would they care? I mean, I get that to doing it legit is the right way to do it.
Yeah, they don't care as long as they're getting their money out
exactly.
of it. You know? It doesn't matter if it's a
But the city
pride.
Can get sued, too, if somebody comes in with a complaint. Hey, my child saw the, you know.
My child's traumatized now for life because it's your guys' parade.
Oh, yeah, like I still feel like even if they offered a permit, that's a fine line.
Yeah.
It still makes me a little nervous.
One of the things I did do a little research on this, something from out of the U.S., it's interesting that in France, to get the word out in protest, the women are topless and they have stuff written on their chest and they're out protesting. There's like 150
So they protest with it on their chest.
Yeah.
What they're saying is, what they're trying to get across is on their chest.
It looks,
because people will stare at their boobs. That's not smart.
Even though they are French, but...
Well, you know, the Europeans are smarter than us, so... You know,
well, I'd go to that protest though.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I have no idea what they're protesting. I don't know French, but I was riveted.
So going back on that, that whole thing I was talking about, the biggest nudist colony is in France. It's held every summer. It has over 40,000 people that come to that are part of the community. And it's
that's a lot of people.
It's called the Naturist Village of Cap de God. It's really hard to say in
Cap
France.
Cap de God?
Yeah. De God, yeah, in France. And it's over 1.2 miles of beach and has over 180 businesses. And clothing is absolutely prohibited. So you can't go there unless you're naked.
They have like a toll booth or something on the road? They're like, I'm sorry, you cannot come in. You have clothing.
Right?
Yeah.
If you pass at the line, you cannot go in.
I'm sorry, but your luggage has to stay here.
Yeah. Maybe there is the naked police.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you know if they're a police officer if they're naked?
Where are their cuffs?
Now that becomes sexual. So that becomes illegal.
Yeah.
So if, yeah.
I'm sorry, sir, but you're poking me with your billy club.
Right. So apparently a lot of people out there that aren't nudists have all these questions about, like, how do you pee when you have to pee? Or what if you get an erection? Because they don't do it for sexual reasons. They do it because they want to be one with nature. So all of the questions that people outside of these colonies or communities have all these questions, like, can you hug while you're naked and not get turned on? And they're saying that you hug somebody is a natural thing. They're there for the love, the nature, the not the sex. So
I wonder how the hug goes.
You just rub.
Because you know
it's just skin on skin. Let the love wait.
Well, no, because you know there's different ways of hugging.
Yeah.
You know, if it's somebody that you're in love with and care about, it's a full on both arms
squeeze. Yeah.
If it's somebody that you barely know, you do the
little pat on the back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so I wonder how they do it at the nudist colony or the nature.
The nature.
Yeah. Nature colonies.
Yeah. I don't know, but you think, what if you have a crush on somebody and you see them?
Well,
you get to see what they look like naked before you go there. So maybe you have a crush and they're like, oh my God, did you see his dick? Oh my God, I'm not going to have a crush on that guy anymore because he's, you know.
Yeah, that could be
could be a thing because you've seen the goods before you get to the goods.
Like, yeah. Personality only gets you so far.
Same with looks. I have a problem with looks because all the guys I've ever been with, I've all based them on looks. Like if they're not good looking to me, then I feel like I don't want them near me. Like I don't want them to touch me. Like I'm just, ugh. And that's terrible.
Well, yeah. But you know what you like though.
I do. And I think that's where I ran into trouble with my very own crush, is because it's solely based on looks.
Yeah.
Don't know anything about him other than that was the big thing, is that he's drop-dead gorgeous.
I've had that problem before where I'm totally into this chick that she's absolutely gorgeous, and then you stop and talk to her, and it just goes downhill real fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sucks, because...
And it's like,
But it's, it sucks for you, because it's like you had all these dreams and fantasies, and you thought about it, and then... that's disappointing.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're human, and that's the thing.
And then the wind blows, and you move on.
Right, right. With my crush, I couldn't move on. Like, I legit, 14 years later, still under the same spell.
Yeah.
No matter what I've been told, no matter what he says, that whatever, it's bullshit. Where I'm going with that is, if I get to a nudist community and he's there naked, would it change for me? Because I'm so obsessed with his looks. I don't know. I don't think it would change for me. I still think I'd still be obsessed.
Yeah. So what happens if it works out and you end up being with him? Mm-hmm. And you're like, do you think it'll last up to your expectations of...
Oh, 100% not.
No.
No, the bar's set so high with the looks and with the fantasy that you can't ever top that.
No.
Because then you realize that they're human, and now you're back down to like, wait a minute. It's like when you have a crush on a celebrity and you're like, oh my God, they're clear up here. Like, and nobody then, can be that high on the bar.
And then you meet them.
And then they're just human and they're short. They're like way shorter than you thought, or they have zits on their face, and you're like, wait a minute.
They have everyday problems.
No, this is not in my fantasy here.
Yeah.
You're not human.
So with the nudist colonies, as long as it's not sexual, it's okay. But so just being naked...
It's not illegal. It's not sexual. And those people don't want to be sexual. They want to just be one of the land. Like, feel it's like those people that do grounding. They want their bare feet on the earth. These people want to mesh into the earth with their naked body.
Okay. So if I'm at a nudist beach and I've got my friends around that are also naked along with me, and a couple walks by, or a couple ladies walk by, and they come over and say hi. And as if I'm talking to them and I start getting an erection, will I get a ticket?
No, you won't get a ticket. And they feel like erections are natural. So it's something that you can't just wipe away. They'll look away. Or, you know, they'll...
Or they won't.
or they won't. But I think they're not there for sex. So... I think that it's just part of nature. You can't help it. So, you know, it's not fair, because women, we don't have anything that shows that, you know, we're turned on or whatever the case may be. But guys, we get to see when you're naked what you look like.
Yeah.
And we want to run the other way sometimes. Because I don't think that men think right when both heads are in play.
No, definitely don't.
No, they turn. Something switches in your brain.
Yeah.
And you're not there.
No.
You're overtaken by I don't know what. But I'm telling you, I would rather see a naked man that has a soft, normal penis than I would a man with a raging hard-on.
Yeah.
Because one's scary as fuck, and the other one is like, oh, soft and smooth.
The Catholic statues.
Yeah.
Roman Catholic statues. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they did the Greek man with just a regular plastic penis.
The really
penis.
Small penis. Not classic, I'd say a little small.
Yeah. So, and one of the popes found that offensive and wrong, and so they made them break all the penises off of the statues.
So they were like, just like a chunk was missing out.
They just whacked
it
off.
What is wrong with society? We're born naked. Why can't we just accept it?
I mean, the statue's sitting there, and he's got one hanging down to his knee. and okay, but apparently that was too much for the Catholic diocese to have a flaccid penis.
But don't you think when you rip out that hole, people are going to be drawn to that spot because they're going to see it?
It'd be like, go ahead, put something over it, you know? So they did.
Cloth.
They went and commissioned somebody to put like a fig leaf over
the ladies. I think that's very attractive to have that, you know?
But no, they just whacked them off, so...
It's well, like, okay, somebody is not thinking clearly.
You're because now a eunuch. Yeah.
This is what we are now hoping people is just cut your penis off. That's what we're trying to get across.
The Barbie syndrome. That's what they would have been happy with for the statues, where the part is just flat.
It's just flat. There's no definition or nothing.
Yeah.
But there are Barbies. I don't know if they're real Barbies, but they're Barbies that have like hard nipples.
And really?
Yeah, I don't know what Barbies those are, but they do have, I don't think they're real Barbie dolls or some other doll, but they are, you know, erect.
Hmm.
And yeah.
They've got a whole bunch of different spinoffs of Barbie.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Barbie is not the only one out there that makes dolls. And
well, no, that's true. I saw a show I watched on TV the other day, Loudermilk. Have you seen that?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I love that show. But I like the guy that plays in Loudermilk because he was on Sex and the City. And so.
Which guy?
Oh, I can't remember his name.
Sex and the City. Which guy?
Booger. That's the
one. Oh, the redhead.
No, the one
that. He was with the redhead.
He was with Carrie Bradshaw. He was the one that broke up with her on the Post-it.
Oh.
Anyway, so he's in this. He's in this. And I think he's really pretty. He's kind of sexy. And he's just got that nice little attitude. And I love that. But they had a sex doll on there, and that sex doll was, like, so perfect. It was just like...
Was it the full-life sex doll?
Yes.
Okay, I have seen those.
One was like...
Well, I've seen one in person. I can't remember what the show was on HBO. I think it was Real Sex. They did a whole episode on these real dolls. The guy's in, like, Wyoming. These are all made by one guy.
In Wyoming?
In Wyoming.
Guy.
And he hand makes the whole thing, and they cost like $7,000-$8,000 for these things. And when he first started out, he would make like 4 or 5 a year.
To special orders.
Yeah, special orders. And like, there were some pretty funny individuals that would buy them.
Oh, I'm sure.
One guy bought them, and he'd dress her up. And
I'm sure it was his wife, right?
Put her out on the porch, and they would sit out on the porch together. Of course, then later on, he's taking her in the house and fucking the shit out of her, but...
Of course he is. So I want to know, back in our nudity situation that we're talking about, if you put your sex doll naked outside where kids are at or people are at, do you get the ticket? Does that naked doll get a ticket? Like, is that against the law? Or is she just a naturist sitting in there? I wonder if you could take them with you when you go to, like, a nudist resort.
Sex dolls' lives matter, too.
That's true. And, you know, they want to be one with the nature.
Yeah. And they were part of nature at one point.
But because they're so real life, that's naked. So I wonder what the laws are to have your sex doll out there with you. Like,
I don't know. That's interesting. Because, you know, for years, the only thing that was a sex doll was a blow-up doll.
Oh, my God. You know what we should do? We should go to the beach, maybe in California or somewhere, put a towel out, put a sex doll out there. Walk away, like sunglasses,
and see how,
and then film people walking up and see what happens.
That'd be pretty good.
I know, but kids would probably see that, so then we'd probably go to jail. Because it would link it back that we owned it.
I really don't want to go to prison in California.
I don't
want to go to prison anyways, but I don't think it'd be very good in California.
I think in California you get away with a lot, though.
Yeah.
I guess I heard the other day that there's California sober, and then there's regular sober. California sober is you're sober off alcohol, everything, but you can still do marijuana. So that's called California sober.
Oh, is it California? I haven't heard that. Well, that's why in the program I'm in, they say clean and sober is because it's distinguishing clean from drugs and sober from alcohol, but they don't ever mention anything about weed.
Yeah, well, they shouldn't, because to me, weed is medicine. I think it was put on the earth to grow and to be available for us as a medicine. It came from God. I don't think it's bad. And it does help people. I've seen people do better on it than without it.
Yes, I have too. There's been documentaries of veterans that are coming back from Afghanistan, Iraq, and stuff like that with post-traumatic stress syndrome and trauma from being in war. And they're going to the VA and getting their VA doctors are like, well, let's see if this works, and loads them up with all these different psycho medicines that don't help them, make them more paranoid and everything else. And the guy's sitting there going, I tried smoking a bowl and I'm good.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I wonder if I just have a crazy thought. So the Navy is out on a boat for, you know, who knows how long, right? The Navy, the shipmen, the seamen.
Yeah.
So I wonder.
Sailors. We call it sailors.
Not seamen.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure there's seamen on the boat.
I'm sure there is too.
So they're out in the boat. Do you think that they all like get naked and stand out there because, you know?
Ooh, a naked crew.
A whole naked crew.
Ahoy, matey, huh? I think that's some deep-seated like fantasy you got going on.
I know, right? The air is just hitting them as they're sailing through the ocean. And
well, you're talking about a Navy crew of nowadays. What about pirates?
Well, yeah, pirates. I mean, Johnny Depp's a pirate. Like, he should be naked.
Yeah, they didn't have a whole bunch of clothes.
There are some men that should never be arrested for being naked. Although we all fantasize over someone like Johnny Depp, but if we saw them naked again, that goes down to like crushing your crush.
Yeah. Well, and also I think you got to remember there's naked and then there's Hollywood naked.
Hollywood naked's better, right?
Yeah.
Hollywood is better. Everything
goes smooth.
Well, they've all had plastic surgery or something. They don't have the love handles. If they have love handles,
and then
we're criticizing.
Then there's the porn naked. You know,
the unrealistic, naked.
Hollywood naked and porn naked are the same thing, they're both unrealistic, they never happen that way.
Yeah,
you know, you don't walk in with your wife of 15 years and grab her by the hand and spin her around and just start taking clothes off and just make it right to the bed perfectly. No,
right?
No, you walk in, you rip her shirt, which now she's pissed because that was her favorite shirt.
And it costs a lot of money.
You try carrying her to the bed and you trip over the damn kids' toys and you put her head through the wall. You know, that's the reality.
That's real life.
Yeah.
That's real life. That's
the reality of it.
But that's more fun. I mean, honestly, wouldn't you? I mean, you have a story to tell. Everybody knows Hollywood stories are just that.
Yeah.
They're make-believe or unreal.
Yeah, they're definitely the fantasy world come to life with Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So tell our listeners, what is your story on naked? What if you were on a date with this girl you really wanted to date, right?
Yeah.
And she said, well, my family is into being nude. And on our first date, I want to take you to our nudist community.
First date?
Yeah, first date.
First date.
This is it. You have to go if you like her because she's not seeing the sexual. Of course, you immediately are going, oh my God, this is sexual. But it's not. So would you go on that date?
Oh.
You have to be naked though.
I think, yeah, I'd probably go.
Because you have to think about it. Yeah. We're judging ourselves because we're never naked, but they see every shape and size naked and they're not looking at it anymore.
And wait a minute, who's going to be there though?
Parents, grandma, you know, cousins, little niece and nephews. They're all naked.
Oh, yeah, I'd still go.
I think you should go because they're not going to look at you and make fun of you. I think it's less judgmental at those places because it's all hanging out.
What if it was the other way around? That instead of, you know, they're not making fun of you because you're naked, but if you show up with clothes, they're going to rip into you.
They're going to be mad. You're
wearing socks, huh? Yeah. What's wrong with your feet?
Right. Well, that guy on the Portland naked bike run, the guy that was filming it on the video I saw, he's like, before he went into it, he's like, I'm not going to be naked when I film this. He's like, I'm just going to film it, get some content, you know, understand it. So he goes and he's filming them as they go by. And the bikers are like, take your pants off, dude, you know, because his clothes are on. And he's like, no. And they're like, you're not part of us. Take your clothes off.
Yeah. And I can understand that on their side of it, because here you are protesting and you're trying to show awareness for something. And here's some dude fully clothed taking pictures
of
you.
Looks like a pervert.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Definite. So, I mean, you got to blend into your situations, you know.
I agree. And on that topic, do you think there's a lot of people with binoculars, like pervs, like looking down at those communities going, naked?
No, I think they've pretty much got drones now.
Oh, true. Yeah.
I think they've given up on the binoculars because binoculars are pretty expensive.
But do they allow it in their airspace? Like,
Maybe they'll
shoot it down.
I bet you they do. I bet you there's plenty of court cases where they've had the exact same thing. Some guy pulled out a shotgun. Where do you keep a shotgun on for the nudist colony?
You don't.
Yeah.
You keep it in your hat. Hope you don't shoot yourself in the head. Thank you for tuning in to Love's Naked Truth. If you enjoyed today's episode and you want to hear more, you can find us on all major podcast platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the show. Your feedback helps us continue to bring you thought-provoking content about love, sex, and relationships. You can also connect with us on social media for updates and behind-the-scenes content. Until next time, stay true to yourself and keep loving nakedly.